Well, we're on the home stretch here, and it's been such a great weekend. I just love being with sisters, and especially just being together with people from my church family. So I hope that you've been encouraged as well. Well, I want to do just another quick little review of kind of where we've been, and then dig in with our last time for the morning. We've been talking about how God really does have a good plan for us in our lives, and that it is always and eternally going to be tied to the nearness of Jesus. As the psalmist said in Psalm 73, "But as for me, it is good to be near God. I've made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of your deeds." But even in the midst of that nearness, we all struggle, right? And I love that the testimonies, and thank you so much, Laurel and Janelle, for just sharing your hearts, honestly, you know. And we all have our struggles, don't we? You know, whether if it's depression or anxiety or insecurity, idolatry in this direction, idolatry in this direction. We all are needy of Christ. I mean, that's a part of our humanity. It's a part of our being, part of our womanhood, I would say, as we live on this side of heaven. And so we all have times and situations in our lives where we feel those disturbances, where we're wholly troubled, where we are doubting or questioning or wondering, Lord, just how are you going to work this out for good? I don't see how your word's really going to work here. But in the midst of that, the Lord calls us is to, I think, model how Mary responded and saying, Lord, I'm yours. I'm a handmaiden of the Lord. And in that, to come to Jesus like that bent over woman, to listen, to leave where we are, to leave our seats, and to come near to Christ, receiving and believing what he's saying over us. But he also gives us the gift of each other. And Janelle's testimony so brought this out. And that's what I want to really focus on this morning. How can we take those steps to journey together and being pursuers of joy? And I want to just ask you a question, and I will invite your responses to this. Is why is it that when there are stories of courage and selfless acts out of things like the Boston bombings, there was a lot of stories that came out of that, of just in the midst of the horror, people that just kind of put themselves, they stepped out of their way to help somebody else, or 9/11 or Hurricane Sandy, or stories that are even more, you know, close to home, when someone is struggling with something in their life, and when stories come out of that. Or I don't know if you ever have seen that story of the father who had a disabled son, and that son, I think, loved athletics, and that dad did a triathlon with pushing his son in a wheelchair or carrying him. It's beautiful. And those types of videos go viral on YouTube. And why do you think that is? Why do those kinds of stories just capture our attention? Just shout it out.
They give you hope.
Yeah, like hope in what, would you say?
Hope that there's something better.
Okay, yeah.
Sacrificial love.
Sacrificial love. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Like the picture of the best of us.
Oh, yeah, like the picture of the best of us. Yeah. Okay. Any other thoughts?
Want to feel good.
Feel, what was that?
Feel good.
Feel good stories?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Lord's work in those that are good.
Mm.
I mean,
amen.
Because of the evil.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah, I mean, I think there's lots of things, and you've kind of captured what I would say too, that we are created for a life that transcends this godless, self-serving world. We really are. That's a part of the Lord's image in us, that we are created to receive his love and to give it away. We've been blessed to be a blessing. And I think that's a part of who God has created us to be, which is why, you know, he's not created us to be a container, but to be just a reservoir, but he's created us to be a fountain, you know, or to be that tree planted by the water that is bearing fruit out into the world. That's a part of, I think, what he's created us for, that life of giving ourselves to others, serving, loving, encouraging, even as we all desire and crave being loved, being encouraged, being pursued, being sought out after. But the Lord has called us to live a lifestyle of how, I love how Paul puts it in Thessalonians. The church at Thessalonica was a church that Paul had only been at for 3 weeks, and then he was run out of town. Yet even after 3 weeks, he could say to these people, after having only been in their presence for 3 weeks, he said, you know, you had become so dear to us that we delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. And that's always a challenge to me, because I don't know about you, but sometimes I can think, well, I just don't have time to build rich relationships. Or, you know, I don't have the time to spend in this or that. But after 3 weeks, because Paul was a man captured by the love of God, he was a doulos. He was that male servant of God, given over to Christ, that I think that freed him up to be love the Thessalonians, that even after just 3 weeks of being in their presence, and of being poured out too, he said, you know what, you've become so dear to me that I delight to share not only the gospel, to teach and to do this, but my very life. And I hope that there'll be some tastes of that for all of us as we leave this time and head back to Glenside and Ambler and other places. As we return back to New Life Drescher and the other church families that some of you are from, how would the Lord have us to journey together with others as pursuers of Jesus, pursuers of joy? Well, what I want to do this morning is we're going to return back now to our dear Mary in Luke 1. After having looked at her Friday night, kind of leaned away from her a little bit yesterday, I want to come back to this and see what else can we learn. What else can we learn as we look at these other two anchors, as I've kind of been putting them, of her response to the Lord's mission. So I want to pick up, and I'm going to read, and actually I'm just going to go ahead and read the story here in Luke 1, starting in 26, just by way of review. And I'm going to go all the way through to her time with Elizabeth. So follow along. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But Mary was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of a salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the holy offspring will be called the Son of God. And behold, even your Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I'm the doula, I'm the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now at this time, Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entering the house of Zacharias, and greeted Elizabeth. And it came about that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaped, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed among women are you, Mary, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. How has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what has been spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave, his doula, his handmaiden. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation towards those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their thoughts of their heart. He's brought down rulers from their thrones. He has exalted those who are humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy. And he has spoken, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever. And Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned to her home. Look at verse 38 and then, 38. And Mary said, "Behold, the doulay of the Lord, be it done unto me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Whoa! The angel departed from her? Abandoned? Left utterly alone? Utter quietness after Mary just makes this amazing surrender of trust to the Lord? That is not how I would have written this story. That is not how I would have had verse 38b. I would have had a different version of 38b. And I wonder what, how would Hollywood have responded to that? Or how would you, in the way you maybe tend to view life, after you make a proclamation like that, "Lord, okay, I trust you. Be it done. I'm going to believe you. I'm yours." What would you anticipate, or what would you desire? Again, what might even our culture say would come next after that, instead of, "Then the angel departed from her"? Like, what do you think?
Praise.
What?
Praise.
Praise for her?
Yeah.
Chorus of angels with...
Yeah. Praise God! Yeah. Chorus of angels. What else? Other thoughts?
Peace and prosperity.
Yeah, peace and prosperity. Mary... Blessed are you. You are going to go back to your village and everyone is going to be saying, "Mary, way to go." And that's a little bit how I would do this. Like, I would have had that verse, if I was in Mary's shoes, I would have written that verse to say, "Yeah, yeah, way to go, girl. You are a rock star servant." Because you know what? Without the moment by moment intervention of God, that's where this doulay morphs. Is praise me. Like Oswald Chambers says, like, I want to serve the Lord. I want to be surrendered to the Lord, but I can also lean towards wanting to have the right people around me saying, "Well done. Good job." Or, you know, we might say this, that, and then Mary just had a dump truck of chocolate poured on her, you know, into her house to just give some comfort. I mean, give the girl a break. Give the girl a break. She's like 15, 16, and she's just been told that she's going to bear the Son of God. Or what about this? I mean, wouldn't we write it this way? Then the angel stayed and comforted her for a few hours. Or the angel went to the rest of the village and her mother. And we see that the angel did appear to Joseph. But this girl... And her fiancé, Joseph, and in that time, that betrothal was really almost like they were actually married. She was going to be under a ton of scorn, you know, when that baby bump started to show. Yep, Mary, what's been happening here? Well, let me tell you about this little visitation I had from the angel and what she told me. Sure, Mary, gotcha. Nope. The angel didn't go and tell anybody else in the village about this except for Joseph down the line. And that's not how we would end this story, with these six lonely words, "Then the angel departed from her." And we don't know why sometimes God responds with silence with us. But I can promise you this, he never withdraws his presence from us. He never withdraws. When he said, "I have come to make my home in you," he never moves out of those that are his own. When he comes in and dwells within us, he never leaves. But still at times, in the midst of those troublings, questionings, the Lord, in his sovereign, mysterious ways, sometimes is quiet It doesn't tell us all the details. And that's where I want us to just look at Mary as, again, as this doula of how does she respond? What did she do when she was, in a sense, left utterly alone, humanly speaking? This is where I want us to look at more of those footsteps of a doula, of what she does, because what she does gives us some ideas, some anchors to hang on to in light of how we might respond. And so I want to look at these things here of how what Mary did. I have here that she draws on past time of having drawn near to God. Now, what makes me say that? We're actually going to get to this in a few minutes when we look at her praise song, because in that praise song, we see that Mary was a woman grounded in God's word of the Old Testament scriptures in her response. And so, again, I'm making some assumption with some sanctified imagination that Mary, in her response, she was drawing on past times of having been in prayer to Jehovah and having prayed and knowing what his promises were. This is what fueled her faith. She wasn't a woman just kind of wandering around. She was a woman that had been grounded in the truths of God. The next thing, though, is that she hurries herself. It says right here, look at this, in verse 9. It says she went with haste. She hurried. And, you know, to Elizabeth's house, it was about 40 miles. So it was a long journey. I don't know how long that would take somebody on foot. But let's say at least a few days if she was going on her own and walking. But she hurried herself. And I was reminded of this scripture in Psalm 119:60, where David says, "I will hasten and not delay to keep the law of the Lord, to obey the Lord." And I think it's important here that Mary hurried. And I don't know if any of you remember, any of you, and this will be only for those of you that are maybe a little bit older, or some of you that have listened to some of that great 80s Christian music and Petra. Who remembers Petra? They have a song called "Hurry Up and Wait Upon the Lord." Or maybe it's "More Power to You," one of those songs. There's an aspect of us dwelling, waiting on the Lord, but there's also times where he says, like we talked about last night, it's time to move. You got to hurry up. It's time to make your move and move into this obedience, move into this response. And so that is something I want to just kind of, again, invite you to consider. Are there areas where he is calling you to quicken your steps, to hurry up and move in a direction towards Christ, towards getting help, towards transparency with someone? Again, I loved how Janelle talked about that in her testimony. But Mary hurried herself, but again, she hurried herself with purpose towards a godly woman. Now, there's a part of this too. She'd just been told that Elizabeth, her relative, in her old age, and who had been known to be barren, she had had no children, was pregnant, was in her 6th month of pregnancy. So here is another miracle pregnancy that's happening. So Mary hurried herself to go be with this woman. It says that Mary didn't first go to her mother. She didn't first go to her friends. She hurried up and went to Elizabeth. Elizabeth, who had also had some miraculous visitation of the Lord. And again, we can only make assumptions of all that was going on in Mary's mind. But I'm going to make the assumption that she wanted to go and check this out. Is it true? What is God doing in Elizabeth's life? What would Elizabeth, my older relative, have to say to me to maybe help me to make sense of this crazy situation that I've just found myself in? When God enters your life and allows an interruption or a pause or a troubling, where do you hurry yourself? Where do you go to? Who do you go to? Maybe you've heard kind of that, you know, pithy saying that women tend to be more prone to run to the phone than to the throne. Have you heard that? I think that can be true. It's not always true, but we do tend to want to run towards the seen and visible and people, which isn't a bad thing, but it can become something that actually distracts us from Christ when we do it in place of going to the Lord. Mary was a woman grounded in again, the truth of God, but she also hurried herself to go be with a godly woman. And are there ways that God is calling you to pursue time with people who are going to really speak truth to you, who have an invitation to have meddling rights in your life? I've got a friend who said that to me years ago. She said, "Ellen, I just want you to know you've got meddling rights in my life. You can ask me whatever, whenever, to just touch base on things." Do you have people in your life that have meddling rights in your life? Are you the type of woman, or do you desire to be a woman who has the sense about you of being a safe place so that women would be able to come to you and say, and I'm not saying this is any, you know, commendation of me, that friend could say, "Ellen, you've got meddling rights in my life," but it blessed me that she did trust me in that way. I've not always been that type of a woman. You know, I'm sure that at different times in the past, and probably still too, people can have perceptions of us, of maybe being unsafe. You know, I used to be a very, very shy person, very fearful little girl. And as I've come to get to know other people who have shyness, shy people can really be misunderstood because they're quiet. So are there women in your life that you can rush to, that you can go to receive encouragement, and not just what you want to hear, but what you need to hear? You know, God's word being spoken to you. Where do you rush to? Where do you go to? The fourth thing on there is that, you know, Mary pursued discipleship. Discipleship might be a little bit of a stretch of what was going on, but it could very be true, and that depends on how you would define discipleship and what that is. If you look at discipleship as only a formal, let's sit down every week for 2 hours, and we're going to talk about this and that, well, maybe that wasn't necessarily what Mary was doing, but if you look at discipleship as living life together, sharing life together, 1 Thessalonians 2:8, sharing our lives and the gospel, I think that's what was happening here. She stayed with Elizabeth for those 3 months, like her first trimester, basically, and Elizabeth's last trimester of her pregnancy, because she went from 6 to 9 and Mary went from 1 to 3 during that time. But this is what happens when we pursue true koinonia fellowship. And I love how a mentor of mine defines that koinonia fellowship. It's when you're making true spirit deposits in each other's lives. It's that Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let me just go ahead and read this, where the writer of Hebrews says, "Let us consider how to stimulate or provoke one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near." And I've really come to see that there is a difference between Christian socializing and true fellowship, which doesn't mean we need to be speaking Bible verses to each other all the time, or, you know, having this, you know, deep discussions about the spiritual life. But there is a way to knit together, as some of you did, or to go on a hike with each other, where you're laughing and enjoying life, but there's spirit deposits going on. And I believe this is what God has designed for his people as we live life together, that we would laugh, that we would celebrate, but that there would be the reality of Christ in our midst, fueling that time together. Those were responses that Mary had. She was trusting in the Lord. She got up from where she was and she went to the house of a woman where she probably knew that she was going to be encouraged in her faith in the midst of a very amazing calling that God had given to her. Now I want us to look at how Elizabeth responded. And I see in Elizabeth's response one way for us to look at a mentoring process, one for us to look at, for those of us, for, and this is really all of us, whether if you're 22 or 82, we're all called to be an older sister to others. I've got women that are younger than I that so speak into my life. I've got women who are older than I that I speak into their life. And I love that in my journey, I've got women of all ages and life stations, and we're kind of doing life together in various levels. Some it's more, it's regular, and we're really sharing openly. Some of it, you know, there's those varying circles of intimacy. But I love having a wide variety of life stations and ages represented among the women in my life. But I want us to look at how Elizabeth responded here and see what we might glean from this as far as journeying with others and offering ourselves to others. The first thing here is that Elizabeth really selflessly receives Mary. Again, she's in her 6th month of pregnancy, and she's elderly. She's older. We don't know what that means. But could we assume that she maybe was a little bit tired as well, you know, just working things out, needing to go to the well and get water and cooking meals for her husband? But she selflessly receives Mary. I love this, and her response is just one of blessing. Blessed are you among women. And again, notice what Elizabeth didn't do, which I know I would be tempted to do. If I was in her place, 6 months pregnant, and I've got this young girl coming at me, you know what I might have said? I would have said, Mary, looky here, baby bump, celebrate with me. Look at what I've got going on. I've had a little visitation of the Lord as well, Mary, so we'll get to you, but why don't we just celebrate what God's been doing in my life? We might not be that obvious, but I say things like that in my heart all the time. What about me? What about a little celebration here? But Elizabeth blesses Mary by receiving her, and then just begins encouraging her in the Lord, encouraging her in the Lord's truth. She's a signpost to the Lord. I mean, look, blessed are you among women. Humble, so humble. I mean, again, think about it. This is an older woman looking on this young girl, and she's saying, how has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? What humility, what decreasing so that the glory of the Lord would increase in that situation. This is really, right in there, we see the components of what mentoring, life sharing in Christ is meant to be. It's a sharing of life, a sharing of the word, and also of prayer. Those would be the components of, you know, if you want to walk with somebody, if you want someone to walk with you, think about how can I regularly have a relationship where sharing God's word, sharing life, and talking to the Lord together in prayer is going to be a part of that. In one sense, it's very simple, but the fruit of that type of a relationship is profound. Thirdly, we see how Elizabeth points Mary forward and towards faith. Listen, she says this. First of all, she believes, you know, that Mary is actually going to bear the Lord. And so there was faith going on. The Holy Spirit had filled her, so she was having knowledge that was given to her in this. But she also says, blessed are you as you've believed that there would be a fulfillment of what God has spoken to you. Blessed is the child that you're going to bear. There's very much a futureness in how Elizabeth is speaking into her life, urging her forward. Again, notice what Elizabeth doesn't do. She doesn't draw Mary just to herself. Elizabeth is not a needy to be needed woman. And that's a tendency that I can see in myself. That is a part of what got me into some of those messes in some of my relationships in the past is in the name of Jesus and in the name of mentoring, my own very needy, broken heart was feasting on other people's neediness. And you have a woman who's needy to be needed and a woman who's needy to be taken care of, and that is a recipe for disaster. I know it. I've been there. By God's grace, I'm not in that place anymore, and the Lord's grown me in my discernment of that, but Elizabeth doesn't do that. She receives Mary and draws her to the Lord. She receives Mary and blesses her and celebrates with her and just points her towards faith in God. The last thing on there is that she allows her to stay, you know, for quite a while, 3 months. Now, how would you respond if someone just shows up at your door, with this crazy news? And Elizabeth, it says she stayed there for 3 months, and then she returned home. Now, I've never had my own children. But those of you that have, generally, that those first 3 months can be pretty rough, right? I mean, that's when, like, the nausea is coming or so many other things. For people that are first-time moms, I would think that there's probably a wonder a reality of just amazing wonder, and also, like, I can't believe this. There's a child within me. It's a time of probably so much expectation and fear and wondering. And remember Mary's situation. You know, it's thought that she was a teenage girl. She was not married yet. I mean, who knows what her family was saying, what her village was saying. Like, hey, has anyone seen Mary lately? Nope. I just saw a bright light in her little house the other night, and then she's been gone. And she got up in a rush. She got her little knapsack of naan, and she left and headed over. I don't know. We don't know where she is. But she stayed with Elizabeth for those 3 months. And this is such a beautiful picture of Elizabeth imitating the Lord, allowing Mary to draw near to her, and she drew near to Mary. It makes me think of Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as God loved you, as Christ loved you and gave himself as a fragrant offering. That's one way for us to view mentoring, allowing women to draw near to us and drawing near to them, entering into their lives. And I've had so many experiences of that in really beautiful ways. And one woman who did that in a very beautiful way for me was my sweet sister Mary Ann. A few years back, when again, I just had some very heart-crushing circumstances that had troubled me. I was wholly disturbed. And Mary Ann was one of those women that I opened up my heart to, and I remember just sharing with you what was going on, and Mary Ann's eyes just filled with tears, which then caused me to fill with tears. And she just said, Ellen, this is an exquisitely painful situation. And it really was. And she prayed for me. This was after actually one of the small group leaders' times. She prayed for me. But then here's what she did. I don't know if it was later in that day, she called me, because I live by myself in an apartment. And generally, I really enjoy that. It's nice to have a place to just retreat to. But she said, Ellen, would you like to just come over and be at our house this weekend? You know, Keith and I have some plans going on. Like, they had a concert they were going to go to. And she's like, would you just like to come and be with us? And I did. And she knew the whole scoop of what was going on. She kept my heart safe. She did not share all the details with Keith. And if you know Keith, you know Keith is this mild-mannered, gentle man. And so he didn't know what was going on. He just knew here was a puddly woman coming to his house. And he's like, okay, well, fine. You know, just make yourself at home here. And thank you, sister, for inviting me and allowing me to stay for a while. And it took the edge off of that pain that I was in the midst of. That's sharing God, the gospel, and our life. How is God calling you to allow a woman to draw near to you? Maybe a woman who is really hurting, really struggling. Would you allow her to stay with you a while? That might be an afternoon. It might be an hour over coffee, just letting her pour her heart out. Do you know that in, like, when they do surveys and all that about counseling, or what has made the most impact in people's lives, it's someone that listens with loving attention. That's one of the biggest ways that people are helped when they're in the midst of pain. It's not giving a lot of words, although words are necessary at times. It's not coming up with some great big healing plan, although we all need help going to the one that heals our broken hearts. But it's someone that's just willing to listen. And to listen attentively takes time and effort. And, you know, even as I shared that story about my glasses falling apart in the middle of that that session, in the midst of that, I was distracted. But something I've learned, and part of the Lord doing a work to free me from my own fear of man, is when I'm in the midst of listening with someone, especially at Harvest, because there is a little bit more of that formality of my office, and I realize I've just gotten lost in a 10-second brain freeze thinking about what I'm going to cook for dinner, or what I need to do this or that. I mean, I'll just say to that woman, I'll stop and I'll say, you know what, I'm sorry. I just had a brain freeze. I just missed that last thing that you said. Would you share that with me? And I didn't always used to do that. I would just, especially if I've got a woman who is like really downloading and downloading and downloading, it's hard to kind of stop in. Sometimes, just in my own fear of man, when I would catch, wow, the spirit would say, Ellen, woohoo, come back. I didn't always want to say, you know what, I'm sorry, I just kind of lost you there for the last little bit. But I'm growing to learn myself how to do these very things. As Elizabeth receives Mary and blesses her and encourages her, we see the last of these five anchors that I've been referring to. It's Mary was disturbed. There is doubting or questioning. She offers herself as a doula. She hurries herself to go be in the presence of a godly woman. And the last thing here is what I would say, she does a soul dance of praise. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that. But before I go into this, what I want to make sure that we're all on the same page, as I share these things, this isn't meant to be a progression or steps of, okay, I've got to move from being wholly disturbed to praise, and then I'm never disturbed again. You know, it's kind of like if you've seen those charts for growth in Christ, and on the one line is like time, and this is like effort, and ideally, like the line of growth in Christ should be like that, and Paul Tripp talks about that it's actually more like this. You know, all over the place. And that's the same thing with growing as women who are women of joy, women of intimacy with Christ. These are all weaving in and out of each other. So we're not trying to communicate a message that we've got to go out of here and just be praising in these dances all the time. Although I would hope that there's those experiences that are part of our lives as well. But Mary says this after Elizabeth just blesses her, encourages her. Mary says, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." That word there for rejoicing, it actually means to leap, to skip. It's like she was like jumping up and down in her heart. She's like, "My soul rejoices in the Lord." And again, as much as I've said all these things about the NIV dramatized Bible, I listen to it all the time because it helps bring the word alive. But even in this section, you know, sometimes we might read this. And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." No, I think she was squealing. Can I make a case for holy squealing this weekend? When you see dolphins, when you have a guitar, when you see God at work in your life or someone else's, Mary said, "My soul is leaping and skipping around." This was real joy. This is the real joy of a soul dance, of a doula. Her circumstances hadn't changed a bit. But neither had her Lord changed a bit. He was in the midst. And Mary's joy reveals many things. It reveals that her mind was soaked in God's word. We don't have time to do this, but I encourage you, if you've got a Bible with cross references, that section from 46 to 55 is filled with tiebacks to the Old Testament. Mary's quoting Psalms. She's going back to even, I think, Hannah. And when Hannah received pregnancy of Samuel. I mean, Old Testament is woven all throughout that praise song. Mary was grounded. Her mind was soaked in God's word. And so that is something, again, I want to encourage you. And if I may gently challenge you, how do you need to grow in being women of the word? Pastor Ron gave an awesome sermon a few weeks ago on joy. And if you didn't get to listen to it, and if you did, I would encourage you to look at it, because he just talked about what are those barriers to joy and what cultivates joy. And one of the top things he said was soaking on God's word. I would encourage you in that. Women's Bible study is just about to start, 3 weeks on Titus. Awesome book of the Bible, 3 chapters. If you're not available, maybe just go on Tuesday night. If you've not been a part of it this year, go on Tuesday night or Wednesday morning and listen to the teaching. Hear God's word being taught to you. For those of you that are on Facebook, and even if you're not on Facebook, Eloise Briscoe, about a year and a half ago, started a Facebook group, and it's open to anybody. But it's a group called Read the Bible in 2 Years. And I joined it kind of midstream after it gotten going. But I've got the Bible plan right here, and we're all behind. Can we all be honest? We're all behind. Like, I'm, for those of you in the group, I'm like three minor prophets behind. But it's a great program of reading through the Bible in 2 years, and there's catch-up days woven in, and basically every day you're reading a psalm or a proverb and maybe one or two passages of scripture. But here's, I want to just invite all of you to consider being a part of this, because in, let me see my little schedule. On May 16th, we're going to start the New Testament. So this would be a great jumping in point for any of you. From May 16th through the end of the year, we will read through the entire New Testament, and again, a psalm or proverb a day. So you don't have to be on Facebook to do it, but there is a group there, and every so often people will post on the wall and say, hey, I just read in this psalm today, or this verse, you know, really encouraged me. And Eloise has just been a sweet, steadfast, persevering encourager to all of us in this, and just encouraging us to press on. That would be something I would encourage you to do, and it's been a kind of a sweet encouragement for me to just even connect in that little way with some women from church that I normally don't. Maybe for those of you that are in Bible study or not, there could be a summer Bible reading group. My small group from women's Bible study a few years ago, when the year ended, we decided, let's go ahead and keep meeting this summer and make it real low maintenance. So we decided to every week to read through one chapter of Mark. And we came together at that same time on Wednesday morning with just two things. What did you learn about Jesus, and how are you applying it to your life? And that's what we did, and it was very rich. Maybe choose a blog, choose a blog to read where somebody is really giving you God's word. Choose one, perhaps, maybe two, but you can get, like we talked about, you can get lost in the blogosphere. But is there a blog you could read every day or a few times a week, once a week, that's going to sow God's word into your heart? I encourage you to consider that. So coming back to Mary, not only was her mind soaked in the truth of the Old Testament, but her song is radically God-focused. You know, it's not me, 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 me. It's the Lord has been merciful. The Lord has been faithful. That's a part of real joy, keeping our hearts and attentions focused on Christ. She acknowledges his faithfulness and past victories, and I still remember Jennifer's teaching a year and a half ago on redemptive memory, redemptive remembering. Mary is remembering the Lord's faithfulness all throughout this. That is a part of the Lord helping us to remain in real joy in our real lives. And sometimes when I'm in the midst of a season that feels really joyful and peaceful, I'll actually say, Lord, just engrave this on my mind and help me to remember this time so that when down the line, whether that's in the next hour or the next week, when he allows me to be wholly troubled again, to face a trial, I ask the Lord, help me to remember now when I'm in that place. Because I forget so easily, and that's not just because of menopause. I can blame everything on that or my thyroid disorder. All my sin, all my, The next is that Mary's song of praise, it's fueled by future hope. You know, all generations will call me blessed. Now, Mary wasn't on an ego trip here. She was just recounting what the angel had said, blessed are you. She's saying that God is doing something now that it's going to have ongoing blessing, ongoing ramifications. There's something for us in that as well. Keeping our minds set on things above. You know, Colossians 3, 1 to 4. Keeping our hearts, keeping our thoughts set on things above. Where we're going. Where this is ultimately heading. Lastly, Mary's song, it does express, I think, a right view of self. You know, she refers to herself as the Lord's doula. She's blessing the Lord and thanking the Lord, but she continues to remember who she is before him. This is her identity. This is our identity in Christ, that we belong to him. Here's something I wrote down, too, that I'll just kind of close out that part, is that when we remember that we are his, that we don't belong to ourselves anymore, that is how joy fills us as self drains out. There's true joy that comes when we remember that it's not all about us. even as the Lord loves us and lavishes his attention on us and lavishes his affections on us. But a right view of self is those who are servants and loved daughters of the Lord. It keeps our heart and life in the right perspective. And that is actually so counterintuitive, but it's true. That is what leads to true joy, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so, closing out our weekend, real joy for your real lives. What is it? It's the real presence of Jesus in us, between us, but also being spread out to others around us. I love how Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, he says, "But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphant procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of Jesus." That's not yippee-skippy, I never have any problems Christianity. That's Jesus bracelet. You know, take that bracelet and throw it away. But it is, Jesus is real. Blessed be the Lord. He's in us. He's with me in this. And that's why it's so important to hear testimonies of people saying, you know, I've been through the fire, but I made it through the other side. The Lord's been pruning me. And the last couple years in my life have been pruning after pruning after pruning as the vine dresser just taking those shears and but I'm experiencing fresh fruit that's coming from that as a result of him pruning away things that I wanted to hang on to. So I want to close with this. I want to give you a few minutes just in quiet. Maybe the praise team can come and just play a little bit of soft music, and this is going to lead us right into a song of worship. But what are your two next steps that you want to take in being a woman who is pursuing joy? And I'm just going to give you a couple categories to think about, but then you just take a few minutes alone with the Lord. And that is, are there ways that God is calling you to be more intentional in pursuing relationships that you're going to be open and transparent? Maybe that would be one of your next steps. Maybe one of those next steps for you are those things that I just shared about getting in God's Word. Is there a way for you to take a step of growth in being a woman that knows God's Word? Going back to the bent over woman, she had to leave her seat to come be near Jesus. Is the Lord calling you perhaps to leave something, to move from where you are and to go to a different place? Is he calling you to fast from something, from some form of technology? Ever so often I'll do a cell phone fast, and I leave my phone in my car all day, or I turn it off. I deactivated from Facebook about a year and a half ago because it was starting to rule me rather than letting me use it. I deactivated, and then I finally reactivated with some guidelines and boundaries for myself about how I was going to use it rather than letting it use me. Is God calling you to fast from something? How is he calling you just to get to know him, to listen to him? Are there voices, whether if it's entertainment, the TV, your technology, are there people in your life actually? The voices, the influence is actually leading you, leaning you away from the Lord rather than towards him. How is he calling you to himself? So take a few minutes. I'm going to just pray. Take a few minutes, and then Aaron and the team, if you want to come and maybe just play a little soft music and then lead us in a last song of worship. And so, Lord, one of your names is that you are a wonderful counselor. And I love how you say in Psalm 32, you say, "I will teach you and instruct you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you." So, Lord, with your loving gaze upon us, with your tender, intimate presence with us, I ask you to speak to each one of us, Lord. And God, would you show us what are those next steps that you have for us in running towards you and rushing and hurrying towards you? What are you calling us maybe to leave? What are you calling us to fast from for the purpose of drawing near to you, Lord? I pray that you would speak in these next few minutes. We love you, Lord, and I thank you for this weekend, and just pray that you would encourage us as we go home, as we go back to more of our real lives. Remind us that you're with us in the midst of it. And we thank you, Jesus, for loving us and having a good plan for us that most of all is yourself. Amen.